and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Glad you are back with me. And ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to take another courageous look. Yes, we are going to continue to examine race, a view from several sides. Yes, we are going to take a look, see how things are going. And remember, we're looking at it from several sides. And so some of those sides are going to be unpleasant. Some of those sides are going to be very, very pleasant. And coming from various communities within the country. So we'll be listening to what some people have to say about what's going on. They'll be sharing their views. We'll be taking a look. We'll continue to take a look at where BBC is taking us with this, with regards to some of the comments made, not only on video, but also in writing. And so one of the things I want us to do is continue to take a look at what Mr. Bennett, I think his name was, has to say about, the comparison. I'm saying it's a comparison because it really is. The comparison of race relations, or more specifically, the comparison of racism in Europe to racism in America. And he says that basically racism in U.S. and America is worse than racism in Europe. He talks about America's systemic racism and how it starts with slavery and a number of slave codes. And these slave codes are basically state or federal laws that were created for the purpose of codifying the inhumane practice of chattel slavery into law. The American South was a slave society, and not merely a society with slaves. Some of you have heard me say before that when you look at the way America was founded, the principles on which it was founded, and you look at the laws, even the amendments that helped to shape America, America has never been a Christian nation. By law, America is not a Christian nation. It is a nation that deliberately, by design, makes room for any religion, because the founding fathers did not want a situation wherein one particular religion would be the officially recognized religion, and therefore anyone who purported to be a follower of that religion would be able to have the power to suppress, oppress, dog people who followed any other religion. They did not want that. And so they deliberately left it to America to become, if it would be so, a hodgepodge of religions, a nation of many religions. So by design, America is not a Christian nation. Also, by practice, America is not a Christian nation. We have some people in America who certainly follow Christian values and imitate Christ in truly loving others, truly looking out for the well-being of all others, regardless of race, regardless of color, regardless of class. They really want to do what God says in his written word we should be doing. But then you have a whole lot of folks, including people, many, many people, who claim to be followers of Christ, who come nowhere near complying with his commands. Many, many people who purport to be Christians, but convey hatred and malice and hostility as a lifestyle, applaud the oppression of the poor and the needy and the oppressed, the very things that God says cry out against, they applaud and look for people, leaders, who will push the kinds of policies and practices that will maintain the status quo of oppression. So as I said, America is a nation that has always had many Christians in it. But America has never been a Christian nation. And so it's easy for people, you know, and with that kind of backdrop, with that kind of national, if you will, personality, it's easy to see that we would have a whole lot of folks who are racist. Developing laws that become slave codes being developed into laws for the purpose of maintaining a slave society. Following the abolition of slavery, laws that were similar to the slave codes were put into place for the purpose of oppressing black people. Following the Civil War, these black codes had the explicit purpose of depriving newly freed black Americans of the rights that they had won. Black codes varied from state to state, but their legal foundation centered on vagrancy laws that allowed for an African American to be arrested if he was unemployed or homeless. They applied to countless black people because housing and employment opportunities for freed blacks in the South were almost non-existent after the war. And so it was easy to tailor some laws that would particularly snatch up black people. Support of Virginia's Vagrancy Act of 1866, one of those measures, stated that it would reinstitute, quote unquote, slavery in all but its name. Virginia's Vagrancy Act of 1866 intended to reinstitute slavery in all but its name. All the impact, the devastating impact it would have on black families, black individuals, impacts that would last for generations. All of that was going to be in play. They just weren't going to call it slavery. They were going to give it some other name. White Southerners would report black people for vagrancy, and law enforcement would arrest them and sentence African Americans to up to 3 months of forced labor on public or private lands. Up to 3 months of free labor, just like in the days of slavery, in our prison systems. Prisoners doing much work for companies. Not getting paid. The laws designed to imprison them. The federal government fought against black codes during Reconstruction by electing former abolitionists and freed blacks to public office and creating laws and adding amendments to the U.S. Constitution to protect the rights of black Americans. But following the collapse of Reconstruction in 1877, Southern states brought them back. Black codes became the bedrock of state constitutions. That's part of the reason that so many people whose hearts are filled with hatred love to say, talk about states' rights, states' rights, states' rights, because it becomes easier to develop laws that are designed to mistreat and abuse black people if you have the states, and this is their reasoning, if you have the states making up their own minds as to how people are going to be treated, it's a whole lot easier to get the job done on a state-by-state basis than it is on a federal level. Because, again, very often when wrong was righted, it was done on the national level. And once that decision was made on the national level, it applied all across the country. And the people whose hearts and minds are filled with hatred recognized that that's the way it worked. And so they started yelling, states' rights, states' rights. And remember, I shared with you how in that documentary entitled 13th, Lee Atwater pushed strongly, even in the 20th century, push for states' rights, because you push for states' rights, that's one of the ways that you can be about the business of making life miserable for the black race. He said, that's economics, that's all economic stuff, I know that. But you do the states' rights, some white people are going to hurt, but black people are going to hurt much more. Can you imagine people using their energies, their mental energies, their brain energies, their spirit energies, their heart energies, to throw themselves into coming up with ways to make life miserable for tens of millions of people, and probably 98 to 100% of whom never did anything to the people who were trying to destroy their lives. As black families, following the collapse of that Reconstruction, Southern states brought those codes back, and black codes became the bedrock of state constitutions. Poll taxes and literacy exams designed to prevent African Americans from voting soon became the norm. Jim Crow and racial segregation, which governed the South into the 1960s, are outgrowths of those laws. As black families fled the South in the 20th century during the Great Migration, black codes followed them to, get this, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and elsewhere. It's so intriguing to me that so many people still think that there are so many parts of this country where racism does not exist. Really. Seems to me that it's more a mixed bag than anything else. I really think that the reality is all parts of the country have people who are racist and people who are not racist. That's what I believe. And I know, again, I hear you. I know that there are people, including a lot of white people, who say that all white people are racist. I still do not believe that. I don't. There are just too many white people who have poured their lives into trying to make life better for people of color, including the black race. There are white people today who expend a lot of energy fighting against, pushing against the ongoing, persistent efforts to make life miserable for the black race. And they speak out against the injustice of the madness. I'm just saying, let's not allow ourselves to become so angry about the unfairness, the hatred that we do see, that we forget about the beauty and the justice that we also see and hear about. Race, a view from several sides, continues in just a few here on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr.